where I'm just coming to talk about something that happened in the past. It's actually something that's very much now. I'm talking 2 weeks, and I said to Leonie about a week or so ago, I said, listen, I'm feeling something, but I don't know what I'm feeling, but I'm feeling like, wie ken die Afrikaanse woord onvergenoegd? Niks is genoeg nie. Nee, you're feeling onvergenoegd. It's a combination between frustration and nothing really satisfies. It is just the worst feeling. It's the worst place that you can be in. And you look at your circumstances and you think, I don't know what's causing this, because there's nothing really that is causing this. The kids are healthy, my wife is healthy, a lot of things is going well, so what on earth is going on? And I started speaking with the Lord, and I asked the Lord, Lord, what is going on? And you will see there, I already put a little thing on. We've been speaking quite a lot, and we didn't plan it that way, but we ended up that way. That we've been speaking about the fruit of the Spirit. We've been talking about faithfulness, joy, love. We've been talking about you're a work in progress. You remember those preachers. And so all of them are talking about a work that the Holy Spirit is doing in us. It is something that the Holy Spirit is doing in us so that we are in a place in our own hearts, even sometimes just in confidence, so that the Holy Spirit can work through us. Nee? And work into other people's lives and build His kingdom as He has called us to do. And so this morning, the intent of this preach is to challenge you a bit, as God challenged me. He really used the scripture to challenge me on my thinking and my responses when it comes to patience. Because I thought I got a good grasp of patience. I thought my own understanding was quite a good understanding of it. And I have to be honest with you, for me, patience was very much like... Patience to me was very much, you know, when I looked at patience, it was like sitting in a waiting room, and you take the newspaper and you wait for the doctor to see you. And for me, the virtue, the value of good patience, if you're a good Christian, it means that while I'm waiting, I'm not getting angry at God, I'm not getting frustrated with my circumstances, because I'm a good Christian, I'm waiting well. I'm not getting frustrated in my time of waiting. And so for me, it was very much a thing for waiting. And I always thought for myself that the minute that I start moving when I should be waiting and I start moving, I thought that was the big sin. That is impatience, the minute that I start moving while I should be waiting. And that is very much, and still is pretty much up until now, that was the way that I saw the fruit of the Spirit of patience. I saw it as the counter clock. The counter was the other side of impatience and doing your own thing, kicking a door open, you know, where a door is closed. I don't want to wait any longer, so I'm kicking it open and I'm going through the door. Now, that is what my impression of that was. And God challenged me on that. He took me to the Word and He challenged me on that. Because the thing is, patience in our lifetime is getting increasingly more challenging to us. Because we are living in an instant culture. 2 minute noodles started it all. Yeah? Yeah. It's 2 minute noodles has started. It's supposed to take you at least 45 minutes to prepare a meal, and here they come up with 2 minute noodles. Have you had 2 minute noodles? Your mom allow you to eat 2 minute noodles. We're rethinking the whole thing. I saw a video of how they make that thing, and it's not that scary. So but we're living in an instant. If you want information, it's on your phone. Google it. 2 seconds later, you've got information. If you want direction on something, Google it. 2 minutes later, it's there. Any circumstance, any situation that we find ourselves in, you want to know where your worldly patient levels are? Wait for the electricity to go off. I need jy sal getoets op hierdie area vir dood met hierdie elektrisiteit besigheid. But wait for your electricity to go off and your internet is down, your television is down, all the worldly things that you normally, your microwave, your kettle, you don't have gas, you don't have gas for the pretend now. And just see how long are you patient for until Eskom repairs your wing. Now, if it's 1 day, if it's 2 days, if it's 3 days, it's normally a good test to see where is my patient levels at. But the thing is, in this instant world, God works differently and He sees patience differently. Because God is outside of time. He doesn't measure things with time. He measures things differently. God measures with relationship. God measures with fruit. God measures with what is being produced. That is how God views something, not with time and instant and how long does it take for something or how short does it take for something. And He challenged me on that. He challenged my response to waiting. He challenged my response the past 2 weeks. And that's where I realized my response was pretty bad, because that's what's why I was feeling so onvergenoeg. Because I thought it was all kinds of things, but I realized and I came to the conclusion, I struggle to be patient. I struggle to understand what it really means to be patient and to wait on God. And so that picture is very much like me for a while. So there's three legs to this preach. The first leg is we're going to look to the Old Testament, and I have to build it this way. It's going to feel to you as if we're going to look at a bunch of scripture, but it's going to be fun in between as well. All right? I promise you. We're going to do some fun things together as well to make it practical. We're going to look at the Old Testament, and I'm going to show you what the Old Testament, how the Old Testament paints a picture of patience and waiting on God. And then we're going to jump over to the New Testament, and we're going to paint the picture to see what the New Testament says about patience and waiting on God. And then lastly, I'm going to land it by bringing you the importance, the dangers of not having godly patience, in an attempt that you will fear so much and you will ask God, please give me patience, Lord. Now that's just a joke again.
Was
it the bad thing? I want to encourage you this morning. Because that was what happened with me, my understanding. And it's not that I did completely misunderstood patience, but there's a depth to patience, there's a power to patience that I didn't see. And I'm hoping to bring that across to you this morning. Is that good? And you know what the lekker thing is? I walked past the prayer team twice this morning that was praying outside here. The first thing I heard Mark said is, love is a verb. And when we're going to come to the just now, it's exactly in my, not love as much, but it's exactly in my notes. And I was like, okay, hang on, there's something here. I walked past it again. And what did my mom say? My mom said, it's active. Let the word be active this morning. You're going to see it's going to pop up just now. So I know this is what the Lord wants to say this morning. I've got faith that we are on the right track this morning. So the first scripture that we're going to do is Psalm 37. I didn't get it from my PowerPoint.
It's very cool.
I like it. Psalm 37. Listen to this. Verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Now, when you go and look at that word, wait patiently, that phrase, if you go and look at the old Hebrew, it is a word called chawal. It is a word called chawal. And it means to bear. Now, immediately for me, it feels like a weight on your shoulders and you're bearing something. Klink het vir jou ook dieselfde. To bear something, so it's like a weight that's on you. But when you go and look at the meaning of it, it is actually quite significant and beautiful. The definition is to whirl. You know what a whirlwind looks like? And it has this ability to suck in and carry with it. It's got quite a power in it to whirl. So to wait on God, first description of it is like a whirlwind. It has quite a power in it. It is quite something that and it's very active. Very active. It's not a thing that stands still. It's near brisini. It's quite a strong wind. The second description of that is to dance. I would never have thought that. How can wait patiently be likened to dancing? But that's the meaning of the word. It means to dance. The third meaning of it is writhe. How do you pronounce it? Writhe.
Writhe.
Writhe. Yes, writhe. Now, I didn't know what the word is, and so I went to look, what does that mean? The word writhe means to twist, to squirm, to wriggle. That was interesting to me, and we're going to look a little bit into this. This is just to lay a bit of an understanding of The first thing is that I want to say is waiting patiently on God, very clearly through this wording and through the word that is being used, is a verb. You agree with me? It's not something that is very passive. It's an active thing. It's an active process. And I'm going to show you now. Let's go on. Genesis 8. Let's look at this. Genesis 8. Who's waiting there? Can we get all the Bibles? Noah. Well done. Noah waited 7 more days and again sent out the doves from the ark. Now, whenever we read that, Noah waited. I'm picturing him sitting on this, like a deck chair on the deck of the ark, looking out over the ocean and just, you know, playing board games with his wife. Or I don't know what they did. They couldn't bribe because they couldn't shoot the sheep because they only had 2. So there was that. Yes, it's a rare tough crowd for more. You must laugh, mensen. Rare, this is a fun preach. So then. I'm telling you, this is a fun preach. Goodness sakes. You better laugh. And so he waited. I love this. So look at the definition of it. He whirled, he writhed, he twisted, he squirmed, he wriggled as he waited for that 7 days until that thing. I picture myself, him talking with God, conversing with God, asking God, God, is it time yet? God, I don't see land yet. Not just waiting passively, but actively waiting on God to give him the instruction. Because if he let go of that bird too early, if he did it too late, he could have missed out on what God had for him in that season. And so he was actively busy seeking God in that 7 days until he let go of that dove. Deuteronomy 32. Look at this. This is beautiful. Look at this. You deserted the rock who fathered you. You forgot the Lord, the God who gave you birth. It's the same word. Who gave you birth? It's the same word as waiting. It is talking about, it paints this picture of while God is waiting and while we're waiting, it's a time of creation. It's a time of creating something, of forming something, of giving birth to something. Now, I want you to turn to someone, preferably moms and dads, but you guys can turn to one another. Turn to one another. One person is going to give birth, and the other person is going to be the doctor. All right. Right on the market. Decide quickly who's giving birth and who's the doctor.
Bush.
Right, the doctor. The doctor is the one that's going to say, push. And the one that is giving birth, is going to have the pain. So, I want all the doctors with me. Yeah. Push! And the moms, the doctors, no, lady, it's not coming. You need to push. And then push. Push more. Do you realize, guys? It's the same wording. It's the same picture that the Bible paints when it says we are to wait on God. We have to be patient with God. Now, giving birth is not a passive process, as we try to illustrate together. It's not a passive process, it's an active process. If the mom is not active, the baby cannot be born. And it could be, have dire consequences to whatever is being birthed in that process. So let's just quickly throw it spiritually. We said the other day to one another, it is important that we start giving birth spiritually to whatever God is doing in me. If God is making you a leader, it is important that at some point I step up and I give him the ability to produce in me leadership. When God is giving me a gift of prophecy, it is important that at some point I step up and I give him the ability to produce in me the prophetic gift. And I need to start producing and giving. I need to start giving birth because it's the source of joy. It is the source of actually following Jesus with joy. Because as we see these births coming through, as we see new life coming through my life, there's nothing that gives us joy like that. Are you with me? Joshua 21. Another beautiful piece. So they instructed the Benjamites, go and hide in the vineyards and watch. When the young women of Shiloh come out and join in the dancing, rush from the vineyard and each of you seize one of them to be your wife. Now boys, that's not how it works. Alright? We don't seize ladies. This is not very woke. Sorry, I apologize to everybody. We don't seize the ladies when they're dancing. That's not how it works. I'm not going to go into that piece of scripture. I want to stand still by that first piece. Do you know that when it says they join in the dancing? You know that that's the same word that is being used when you're talking about waiting on God. Have you ever pictured yourself that the time when you are waiting on God, you are actually dancing with Him? That you are actually connected with Him? Now everybody stand. Those that can. Grab a partner. Husbands and wives and those that are single can grab anybody. If you are totally alone, grab a fictional partner. Right. Now there's going to be no music to this, but I want us to dance. So with your partner, in your best of your abilities, one person leads, the other one follows, and also kick off for a moment. 1, 2, 3, go. And let's go, guys. Dancing. Connected. Connected to one another. Okay, stand still, listen close. Now, I want you to, that person that's in, just to hold them a little bit. Is this a fuzz dance? Is this a slow waltz? I don't know what you call it. Just hold them closer, we're going to do a slow dance. I want to ask you, can you feel that person next to you? Do you experience their presence next to you? Is there a connection between you and that other person that is standing there with you? I want to ask you, is it possible for you as you are connected with one another, is it possible for you in this moment that one can dance in that direction and the other one can dance in another direction? No. Are you dancing at the same speed, at the same rhythm? Are you very much one as you are dancing, if it's been done well, of course? Then, do you see the picture of dancing with God? Do you see the picture of waiting on God? You can take the seats again. Alright, that was the Old Testament. Now we're moving to the New Testament. We're going to sock in now. No. We're moving to the New Testament. And the New Testament, I want to say, the New Testament changed everything. Because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on people for moments. There was times when He came on people. But what changed? Mark said it in the worship. The Holy Spirit is now living where?
In us.
So literally, our ability to dance with God just became all the more a reality for us because of Jesus that died on the cross. Because of the Holy Spirit that is being poured out on us. Our ability to stay connected to God, to wait on Him, is completely different to what it was in the Old Testament. So when David was able in the Old Testament without the Holy Spirit, when he was able to wait on God, being patient in that time, how much more will we have the ability in the New Testament to be patient, active patience, not passive patience. Active waiting on God, not passive. How much more do we have the ability and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to do it in today's time? Galatians 5 verse says, it is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to say that. It's the fourth one. Love, joy, peace. And then it says this. And it's not, there's different translations. You get forbearance, you get long-suffering, you get patience. Now it's not that the one translation got it right and the other one got it wrong. There's just different words that you can use for the same Greek word. So Greek has got a depth to it, but it's got for nux. So you will see some of them will say patience, some will say long-suffering, and other will say forbearance. They all mean patience. But it's when you look at all three of those, when you actually get to the depth of what is being meant by patience. Is it just sitting passively in a doctor's waiting room, waiting for God to call you into his room? Or is it actually not finding yourself in a waiting room, maar in a birthing room, Is that where we are waiting on God? Where we are actively participating with God in whatever He is doing in us? Wat sê julle? Is it true? I saw this picture as I was preparing this week. I saw this picture of yeast. Now yeast is a very powerful ingredient to dough. Yeast is the ingredient that makes dough bread. If you don't have that, you've got a flatty. A hard flatty that you can throw someone dead with. You can throw someone killed with. That's bread without yeast. And it is the same with patience. If you understand what patience really means, active patience, patience that is with God, that is connected to God, that is dancing, wriggling, wrestling with God in whatever I am facing. If we understand that, it has got the potential to form bread out of something, out of dough, lifeless dough, where there's nothing going on. And you put yeast in there, and suddenly it starts to rise. It starts to form bread. And it's the same thing with patience. Patience has the ability to, when I am on my way to somewhere, when I'm waiting on a breakthrough, and when I'm waiting for God to fulfill the promise, when I'm waiting for Him to bring something through in my life, to do that work in me or through me, patience is the thing that takes me there. With all the other things, but there's a specific working of patience, and we're going to look at some of them just now. Is jy met my?
Yes.
Lekker man. Voel dit asof ek nog net 5 minute preek, nee? So ek het al so 15 minute, nee?
Yeah.
1 Timothy 1. We're going to look at some of the New Testament scriptures here. And my hope is that, and that's the challenge of this morning, my hope is that whenever you read the Bible again and you see the term or the phrase, wait on God, or when you read the word patience, that you will forever think differently. Just take that off. Everybody's looking at the screen and listening to me. Thanks. So, I want to look at some scriptures, but they're all in a block there. Just, you can throw them up again. I want to just prove to them that it's true. That's all scriptures that are, and that is a breed deal. It's a percentage of the scriptures. If I would have done all of the words, scriptures in the New Testament that either contains waiting on God or contains the word patience, long-suffering or forbearance, that whole thing would have been filled with scripture. There's so many scriptures that talks about that. But it is my hope that this morning, as we read through some of them, that our understanding of that patience will move from a passive waiting for God into a place where we are actively participating, we are actively involved in whatever God is doing with me, because that is the real purpose and that is the real goal when God talks about waiting on Him and being patient. Is that good? Now you can take it off again. I'm going to read for you. 1 Timothy 1. But for this very reason, I will show mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ might display His immense patience. Now I want to ask you, did Jesus just sit back and wait for Paul to give His life to Him? Jesus was planning. Jesus was planting seeds. Paul was so far removed away from Christ. He was killing people that was following Christ. He was killing Christians at that point in time. So the chances of a guy like Paul coming and finding Jesus on his own, what's the percentage? Minus. Minus, ne? Is it moontlik om 'n minus persentasie
te hê? Ek
het hom bofs. And so I want to say, the mere fact that Paul is writing that Jesus was patient with him is a testimony that Jesus was actively working, processing, making plans to reach out to Paul. He was actively working into Paul's life, that by the time that he got knocked off that donkey and Jesus appeared to him, that he gave his life to Jesus. And Jesus was able to transform him and to save him. And that is what he's talking about. The patience. The working of God in my life. And in that sense, at that point, Paul wasn't very involved in that. But listen to the rest now. 2 Timothy, still writing to Timothy, a little bit later on. is it? That's it. So you, however, know about all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, and my patience. I love the fact that Paul came to a place where he actually allowed Jesus to the same patience that Jesus had with him. To say, Jesus, now I want your patience. And Paul got to a place, and we should get to a place, that not our version of patience, but God's version of patience, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that we get to live that, like Paul said, in 2 Timothy 3. It's so important that we make that transition and that we allow the Holy Spirit to bring that fruit in us. 2 Timothy 4, listen to this. Everything in this scripture, 2 Timothy 4, everything in that scripture is verbing. It's talking about doing something active. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. And then it says with what?
With great patience.
With great patience and careful instruction. That patience does not mean that I'm saying something and then I'll go away. There's an active participation with the word that goes out. I want to ask you this. If you've ever been in a position where you have shared a word with someone, have you ever prayed after that? Have you ever been involved with that word after you've preached it to that person or shared it with that person or encouraged that person if you've given them an encouragement or whatever it was? Have you ever walked away from that person and you are still actively involved in that word that you planted in that person's heart? That's what it means. That's what patience means. I go away from that person and I start praying. I say, Lord, I encourage this person. I just told Mark that he is the most beautiful person. Lord, I pray that this word will fall into his heart. I pray, Lord Jesus, that this thing will not just take root, but it will bring forth fruit in his heart. And tomorrow morning, I'm praying for the same thing. And the morning after that, I'm praying for the same thing because I'm actively waiting on God to bring forth this encouragement that I gave him. I'm not sitting back, I gave it back, and now I'm sitting back and I'm waiting back in the doctor's room. You get the difference. Hebrews 6, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end so that your hope might be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but imitate those who through faith and what?
Patience.
Patience inherited the kingdom. There's a power to patience that has the ability, that is the yeast that will bake this bread that will last me to eternity, that will take me through suffering. That's where the word long-suffering comes in. Is it long-suffering?
Yeah.
It's literally long-suffering. The ability to suffer for a long time without getting impatient, without getting anything. Then, so if you want to make the race, ask the Lord, Lord, I need your patience. All right. I'm going to move on. Otherwise, we're not going to get finished. James 5, this is the last scripture that I want to read. James 5. This is such an important one. Look what the resemblance is, what the Bible says here. Be patient then. This is what he starts with. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rain. You too. Be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming in his near. Who has ever planted anything? I want to ask you, Mark, you are more closely involved with many things. Do you have to prepare the soil if you want to plant, let's say vegetables, that's probably the more difficult one. If you want to plant broccoli, you prepare the soil.
Yes.
When you plant the seed there, and you sometimes when the little thing is coming up, if there's a rock on there, you have to remove that rock, otherwise it will not come up. So even after planting, you've got more work to do.
Yes.
When the seedling comes up, and the pelicana and all the birds come, what is a tarantula pelicana? You have to shoo them away because they love eating those little seedlings, am I right? So you have to shoo the birds away. When the birds are away, the weeds come. And every single week you have to take off out the weeds. So I want to ask you, when the Bible says, dear farmer, wait patiently, what does that waiting look like? Huh? Is he sitting back, dunking his Omar Rusk into his coffee each morning, waiting for lunchtime? lyk nogal raai daar buite, ja. Nee, daar kom die saaile maar. Yes, dit gaan 'n goeie oes wees. It's going to be a good one this year. This is going to be a good harvest. And tomorrow morning it just looks out the hair. Yeah, it's another good day. The sun is shining. This crop is going to be good. No. He's actively busy in his field, actively participating. And I want to say this, working with nature, working with God for the growth to come through. Do you see it? Right. Now I'm going to highlight four things and I'm going to end off with that. I'm going to highlight four danger things. I want to say danger, danger, danger. This is why it's so important for us to really understand what godly patience looks like. Because it has this ability. It's got the potential to bring you to the place that I was last week. And I don't want you guys to sit in that, but it's got even the potential to take you a step further than that. And we're going to look at some of the dangers now. Firstly, impatience, passive waiting, breeds and cultivates anxiety and fear. If you are sitting passively waiting for the next season to come, if you are sitting waiting passively for a breakthrough or for God to do something in your life and you are not actively involved with Him in that, it's like sitting in a dark room and you cannot see anything in front of you. And you're trying to find your way, but you can't find your way. And you know how anxious and how fearful that makes us as people. I want to say, work out, sir. Let's go and go in there. Let the claim sit in the clear from us. But you have to go over the basis. So, I want to say, if you are experiencing fear and anxiety, is it possible that you are finding yourself in a dark room dancing alone? Because the dark room often is there. That's a reality. The dark room is often there. God doesn't lift circumstances just like that. That's where Paul and all the guys speak about the suffering, the things that we go through. So the dark room doesn't always lift. We don't always see. God doesn't give us the answers beforehand. So often God will leave us in the dark. But it is in those cases where, when we are waiting on God, that I want to ask you, are you dancing with Him in the dark room? Because if you feel Him close by you, if you hear His voice, the fear and the anxiety in that dark room will go away. Do you agree? Fear and anxiety of what God has for you. I'll never forget, there was a moment when I realized that God wanted us to lead a church. And if you know about, or if you're in that position, I promise you, for many a season, you will be faced with some fear and some anxiety because you look at yourself and you feel, you know, what, insufficient. I didn't go to Bible school, I didn't learn anything. When we started off, I wasn't an elder or anything like that. We never led anything remotely close to a church. We led a community group. And so for me, coming to the place where God actually spoke to me and said, listen, I want you to do this, I was trembling in my socks. And so when God came to us and said, listen, I've got something for your life, what is your reaction to that? How is your waiting and your patience in that season looking like? Are you full with fear and anxiety? Because if it is, there's a strong possibility that you are not doing it with God. It might mean that you are sitting in the waiting room of the doctor and you're not sitting in the birthing room with Him. If you are full with fear and anxiety as you wait for Him to do something through your life. If when someone says to you, listen, I think you are the next youth leader, or whatever the case may be, and your first response is fear and anxiety, and for the rest of the 6 months it's like, I just don't, please, never. And so sometimes when God speaks something over us, when God brings a promise, it's not always something that brings excitement. Sometimes when God speaks something over us and He brings a promise of what He wants to do in our lives, it brings the opposite of that. And it is those times when we need to wait on God. and we have to have godly patience for Him to work that thing out in me and bring me to that place where I can actually step into what God has for me. The second thing, fear and anxiety. If we don't do this with God, with fear and anxiety, it has the ability, it's got the potential to go into frustration. Who's ever experienced frustration before? As you wait. Man. Frustration as you wait, this instant culture. And frustration can have a lot of different reasons why we are frustrated. Vian. Who saw in the worship that Vian went and stood there in the corner? Do you know why Vian went and stood in the corner? I didn't send him to the naughty boy. I promise. Vian had the expectation that I will have the ability to hold him in my arms for the entire duration of the worship. And at some point I said, my boy, you need to stand. I can't hold you. My arms is long. And because his expectation was where it was, because his expectation for Dad was going to hold me the entire time, and I had to sit him down, he became frustrated and he went and stand in the corner. And we're going to come to where he actually ended up just now. But I want to say, when God is waiting, the season of waiting, actively waiting in our lives, and God sometimes does something that I did not expect, God sometimes takes a turn that I was not expecting, what does my waiting and what does my patience look like? Do I get frustrated? Or do I have the ability in Him and through Him and with the help of His Holy Spirit to stay connected, to stay in the dance with Him? Until such a point when that birth has come through. Desires. Sometimes my desires and God's desires, Leonie did not plan for us to lead a church. Her picture was completely different. It doesn't make her less holy. It doesn't make her sinful. So, but the thing is her expectation was just, her desire was a family life. It was a life that which was just different. And then God comes and God says, listen, I've got something for you. I can just imagine what it must feel like. How do you keep in step? How do you keep dancing with the Lord? How do you wait on the Lord? How can you be patient with the Lord? If He expects something of you, or He asks something, or He instructs something of you that goes directly against your own desires. But isn't that what God expects us to do? Is to lay down our lives and take up our cross and follow Him to wherever and however, into whatever God may lead us into? That's what patience looks like. Godly patience. It's laying down what I was busy with and following Him into what He is. The third thing that I want to highlight. Nou raak ek my een notas hier mekaar. The third thing. Put it there behind me. Finger my cheek. The third thing is that it has the ability to bring anger. This is actually quite a serious one. If we've been waiting on the Lord and we have not been dancing with Him in that waiting period, we have not been giving birth with God in that waiting period, we have not been connected, hearing His voice often, not feeling anxious, not feeling fearful, but actually being connected with Him in that period. That's what Richard Gordon came to talk to us last week, where he said, look after your vineyard. And that's what I've been doing. I've been looking so much after other people's vineyards that there was things going on in my own heart that I wasn't looking after my vineyard. And this week the Lord said, look after your vineyard, Willem. And as I look after my vineyard, I realize there's frustration that has built up in my heart because of some of the things that the Lord has said that hasn't come through yet. There's some things that didn't pan out as I thought it was going to pan out. There were some things that didn't really materialize the way that I saw it materializing. And I was getting frustrated, and I was getting almost to the place where I was miffed with the Lord. Yeah, miffed the Lord. Huh? And there's nothing as damaging as that, because when we get to the point where we are actually angry, and we actually say, Lord, why did you do this to me? Why did you allow this to happen? Where are you? Why aren't you in this? When we get to that point, it becomes very, very dangerous to us. And that's why it's so important that we really ask the Lord, Lord, I need your patience. I need godly patience in my life. The last one. Impatience and passive waiting breeds and cultivates passivity, discouragement, and at the end, unbelief. That's where the enemy is at. That's what he's targeting. Is he wants to get you to the place where you start to believe that God is not there. Where you start to believe I'm dancing on my own. Because if you can make you feel discouraged, if you can make you feel alone in that dark room long enough, you're going to believe that you are alone in that dark room at some point. And it's going to cultivate unbelief in you. Discouragement. Who's ever been discouraged while you are doing good? I'm doing the tea table to the best of my ability, and then someone comes and says, "You see, it's a happy day." We've been doing so much in the facilities. We are going to do so much more with the facilities in the next week or two. What's the space? But you know what is the most discouraging thing after everything, and then someone comes in and then they say, You know how discouraging that is when you are giving your all. But the problem is, if we get discouraged in those instances, my question to you is, are you dancing with God? Where are you going with your frustration? Because as we are waiting, as we are being patient with what God is doing in this house, in this congregation, are we getting too easily discouraged with what we see and how people react and what we sometimes hear and what we sometimes go through? Or are we actively trusting the Lord for what He wants to do in and through us? And now I need to skip to the end, because otherwise I'm going to run out of time. Mark is already looking at me and saying, "Hey, bro." Yeah. I want to end it off by using this last scripture. And it's such a beautiful... Don't put up the scripture here, Becky. I want to just paint the picture. There's a scripture that Paul writes to the Philippians. And it is probably, for me, the most beautiful picture of what God's heart is, to wait on Him, actively be connected with Him, dancing with Him, wriggling with Him, squirming with God, when we are facing challenges, a new season, a waiting season. It is probably the best picture, as we're waiting for someone to break through in an area. Are we waiting passively for our brother and sister to break through in an area? Or are we actively involved with God, with that person, in whatever they are facing, in whatever God is working into their lives? Philippians 4. Now she has to look for the passcode of the skin. Quite a few. Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is, for me, the most beautiful picture of what it means to wait on God and to live a godly, patient life. When we are sitting and we say, "Lord, I'm not anxious about anything because I'm dancing with you. I can feel your presence with me. Because I'm dancing close to you, I hear your whisper in my ear every 5 minutes." And you say, "Yeah, let's pick up the pace a little bit. Just stick to my rhythm. No. You're going too fast. Just stick to my rhythm." Because you know this. We can also sometimes, even out of zeal, sometimes because we love Jesus so much, we can even run out ahead of Him. We can break down doors that should not be open, and that can just be as harmful as being passive. We can be overactive, and that can just bring just as much harm than it was. I've learned from that. Where the Lord gives me a picture, He gave me a picture for the church, and then I get so excited. I get so zealous for the Lord. I said, Lord, I can't wait for this. And in 1 week, I go and see 5 different people. Where actually, I should have no meetings with that. I should have prayed on it first. And I go and see those people. I say, Neil, I've got a word for you. And it's not ready yet. But it's because of the zeal. And God said, no, 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 no. Dance with me. And so he says, don't be anxious about anything. Anxious, even zealous anxiousness. Being that excitement that is not of God. That excitement that actually comes from me and not from God. But in every situation, all of the time, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That is what it means to constantly be waiting on God, to be patient with Him. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts against fear, against anxiety, against frustration, and against anger. Good. I want to pray with you guys in closing for this. There is one more. Just go back to the Acts when you went over that scripture. I want to also say this. If we are not waiting patiently on God, this is the one where sometimes we break open doors and we start yielding the axe and we start cutting down trees. But if we do it with a blunt axe, if we don't stay connected to the Lord, because it says at the end, it says, if iron, it's an axe, is blunt, and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength. But wisdom helps one to succeed. Whose wisdom? It's God. Jesus is wisdom. He's the one that sharpens our axe. So if we go into a day, that's what Richard Gordon said last week, why intimacy with God, why keeping our vineyard is so important. It is those times when God has the ability to sharpen our axe. And if we go into our day and our axe is not sharp, we will put in a lot more effort for a very little return spiritually. And then ons gaan ons afsloop en ons gaan nie vorder nie. That is what it means to wait patiently. Yielding the axe, but yielding the sharp axe. One that has been sharpened by God. That gives us wisdom. What should I do in this instance? Is it God's timing? Is it not God's timing? Should I send a WhatsApp? Should I rather go and have coffee with that person? Should I do this? Should I do that? That's what God comes and he sharpens that one. And suddenly, with the same amount of effort, God has just ability to do a lot more with very little. Less. Alright. I want to pray with you guys. Just stand with me. Thank you, Father God, for this morning, Lord. And Lord, I really pray, Jesus, that this concept of, and we all understand patience, Lord. I do think there's a good understanding of what patience means. But there's an element of active patience. An active waiting on you that does it with you, not waiting for you, but that does it with you, that I feel that you want to just bring into our hearts this morning, Lord. I believe, Lord Jesus, that this is such an important key in the fight against spiritual frustration, against spiritual fear and anxiety, against anger often that raises in our hearts, Lord. Lord, against something, Lord, that wants to take us away from being in step with your Spirit. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that this morning the seed will be planted in our hearts. That the Holy Spirit can grow patience in us. Long-suffering, forbearance in us, Lord. Lord, that the patience that is being provoked, that you will provoke it, that you will poke it constantly into action, into activity. And we pray that in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will walk this out with us, Lord. I pray that we as a congregation and as people, Lord, will see the fruit of godly patience in our lives in the time to come, Lord. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I actually forgot to say the first definition of patience in Galatians means provoked patience. It is a patience that is constantly provoked. It's like God comes and he provokes our patience, you know? Pokes the bear. Mark when you know. Wash your kids. Like that. Not one more. That is the thing. God comes And he provokes that patience with us. That is what it means. The word means it's a provoked patience. Forbearance is not just sitting, it's provoking it. And allow God in this season to provoke your patience. Allow God to stir your patience into acting with him in what he has for you. All right. How's that?
Yeah, just good, man. I love the picture of just being in step with the Lord, just being in a dance with him, and you know, just in rhythm with him. That's just like the desire of my heart. Everyday life is just, no matter what pressure you're facing, circumstances.